إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our reminders on monitoring our conversations. Today, I want to remind myself and you, in our conversations, another thing to monitor is whether the conversation is self-centered or other-centered. So when we speak and so on, we listen to people, are we listening to self-centered talk about yourself, whether it is in terms of what you want, whether in terms of what you praise and so on and so forth. So it's my opinion, my this, my that. Is it self-centered or is it other-centered? Is there in the speech, do you detect, can you see concern for others, concern for other people, concern for the environment, concern for other members of society? What is it that you are seeing in that conversation? Because as I said, conversations indicate attitude. And so, a self-centered conversation indicates an attitude of selfishness, that I, me, and myself, you know, I, me, myself. Whereas an other-centered conversation indicates a sense of responsibility towards society, towards family, and so on and so forth. Very important also to monitor the conversations of your children. Today, more and more, I see in the young people conversations which are almost 100% self-centered. There is almost no mention of anyone other than yourself. If you listen to young people speaking, it's almost completely self-centered. Me, my things, my possessions, what I want, I like this, I don't like this. You know, sometimes you feel like saying, who the hell cares what you like and what you don't like? You know, go and stuff it up. What do I care? But that's the, and it's a very bad kind of indicator, because such self-centered people are people who end up with broken marriages. These are the people who end up with children who are badly brought up. They are people who end up with careers which go no place, because in the real world, self-centeredness does not work. It absolutely doesn't work. The more other-centered you are, the happier you will be. The more other-centered you are, the more concerned you are about other people, the more popular you will become, the more you will be loved, the more you will get reciprocal affection from people because you are concerned about them, and so on and so forth. And that does not mean that your interest will not be taken care of. Qadr Allah, what you need to get, you will get. But because of your concern for other people and the way you behave and so on, what is manners? Manners is concern for the other. Simple as that. Manners is not, you know, whether you hold the teacup with the two fingers and the pinky finger is out there or something. Manners is concern for the other. If you see an elderly person coming in, will you get up and offer a chair? That is manners. What is that? That's concern for the other. How do you treat the weak is manners. Not how do you treat the strong. The strong will take their right. If you don't give it, then they will take it by force. But how do you treat the weak? In a national or global level, how do you treat minorities? How do you treat people who do not have strength? This is manners. It's not, you know, some etiquette out of Emily Post's book or something. So, and this comes only with being other-centered, not with being self-centered. So that's a very important thing to monitor in conversation. Self-centered or other-centered. The second thing to monitor is whether the conversation is towards consumption or whether it is towards contribution. So, possessions. I always say possessions add cost, not value. That's all they add. They add cost, not value. The more you gather, the more possessions you gather, first of all, you have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that. As much you have, that much you have to answer. And that is only for the halal. If you got it in the haram way, then there is not even any answering. Then there is only there is only punishment. There is no hisab for haram. Hisab is only for halal. And if you got it by halal, the more you have to give account for. So what's the good of having more? You should have enough. You should have enough so that you don't need to ask anybody. But beyond that, it is actually a problem. It's actually a, you know, worthless thing to have more than what you need. So what is the conversation? Is the conversation more about consumption? My car, which brand, what clothes, what shoes, what watch, what phone, what model, and this and this and this, all of which indicates a lack of confidence in yourself. Because if a person defines himself by the kind of car he drives or by the kind of phone he has, what kind of a human being is that? You are the value of some piece of junk, I mean some piece of metal, or that is you. This is what the consumeristic world tells us, you know. You are your car. How can I be my car? My car is a piece of junk. You go and crash it in a wall, it's gone. Where? I am certainly not my car. So the whole issue is consumption. And this is what happens also, and this is what destroys families. Because this is what creates bad blood between brothers. This is what results in people filing suits and cases against each other on property and so on and so on, because it's always mine, consumption. What is my share? Many times when I do arbitrations for business families and the people come and say, no, I want to get my share. I say, yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. You must get your share. What is my share? So I say, how do you define my share? No, my share is 50%. How is it 50%? What is the logic? So they ask me, what do you think? How should I do it? I said, my share is my contribution. Whatever you contributed. So if your father built the business and you came into the business now and then you had a problem with your father, you want your share. What is your share? Your share may be the doormat, so take it. Huh? I mean, your father worked his whole life and built the whole business. You want your share. What is your share? So the point is that contribution or consumption. So what do you define yourself by? What did I contribute to the world? What did I contribute to society? What did I contribute to my family? What did I contribute? Is that your definition, self-definition? Or is it consumption? What do I own? How much do I own? And so on and so forth. And the third thing to monitor in conversation is whether it is focused on inheritance or whether it is focused on achievement. Now, this is another thing, especially in our old cultures like ours. You don't find this in America, for example. Because the whole concept of lineage and families, it is there. Not that it is not there. But the general run-of-the-mill, Westerner is not focused on those things. Many of them don't even know, you know, the name of the grandfather. Sometimes they don't know even the name of the father. So, in our case, that is not the case. So, in our case, we are focused on, you know, I am from this family and this is my lineage and I am so-and-so's grandson and so-and-so something and so on. And my grandfather was this Nawab and that Nawab. So, the inheritance, I don't mean necessarily in terms of money, but inheritance in terms of name and fame and titles and so on. This is a big thing with us. Whereas, what really counts is your achievement. You can trace your line to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That does not mean you are going into Jannah. Right? So, you will go into Jannah depending on what you do. Not because your line is traceable all the way back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, that is the important thing to remember. Which is that in our conversations, are we focused on inheritance or are we focused on your own achievement? What did I achieve? In my life, what did I do? And if you did a great deal in your life, it doesn't matter where you came from. It makes no difference where you came from. What makes a difference is what you did. So whether you came from a humble background or whatever, I mean, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi was not related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not a Sayyid. He's not, he's not even Arab. I mean, he was from Kurdistan. He was a Kurd, right? But his name till today, and the amazing thing with Salahuddin, is that his name is taken with honor even by his enemies. It's not only the Muslims. The Frankish, which means the French and the Christian crusader historians, have written about Salah ad-Din, who was their greatest enemy, with great honor, with amazing honor. And one of the historians of Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, a man called John Mann, he's written a very nice book called Saladin. That's the anglicized version of Salah ad-Din. He says that for the Christians, for the Christian knights, Salah ad-Din was actually the epitome of their best values. They did not find those values in themselves, but they found those values of chivalry and bravery and nobility in Salah ad-Din. And they respected him for that. So even his own enemies. Now imagine, in terms of lineage, what is the lineage? There's no lineage. He's not Abbasi. In those days, the Abbasi Khulafa, it was the Abbasi Khilafa was almost dying, but still that was the, the Khalifa was Abbasi. So he was not from those lines. But what did he do? I mean, he is the man who liberated Jerusalem. He is the man who brought together the Muslims, joined them all together, and he fought and liberated Jerusalem. I mean, there is such a wonderful thing which, cannot be forgotten. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him with the best of the best. Question of your own achievement. What did you achieve? Achievement also is not necessarily to be seen in terms of a global context. So, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to conquer Jerusalem to be remembered. May Allah use us all for that. But even achievement which might seem to be humble, it is not, I always say that achievement is measured not in terms of its magnitude, but in terms of the hurdles that you had to cross to get there. So, sometimes you might find that somebody, if you just look at the achievement itself, might not look like much. But that person, the kind of difficulties that person had to surmount in order to be able to achieve that, that gives value to the achievement. It's not, did you control the whole world or not? It doesn't matter. Even if you did something in your own family, if you did something in your own city, in your own society, even though it might seem to be small, but that small thing has great value because of the kind of difficulties that you had to surmount in order to achieve that. So, achievement is to be measured in that context, not necessarily in terms of numbers or, how many billions or how many, how much of, society was, how much of visibility there was and so on. So, these are the three things, inshallah, today that we can, that I remind myself and you to remember in our in our conversations, to see whether our conversation is more self-centered or other-centered, whether it is more in terms of consumption or contribution, and whether it is in terms of inheritance or achievement. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live our lives, to enable us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him and which helps us to deep behind a legacy of honor, which is a useful thing for us when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.